live radio. The Burroughs and Comey were having a little difficulty getting them on the line. But the Moriartys have stuck around, and they really have a lot more to say. We're going to go into Libya. So we'll, I don't know where Brian is from Vax 2. I don't know. We've had him on several times. I don't know if he's on, we got a time zone mix up or what. I don't know. But, we'll still work on that. But so excited and second to none is the Moriartys. LibyanWarTheTruth.com, of course, is their website. We've talked about a lot of things this morning. What we haven't really talked about is Libya, which is heating up, which is becoming central to the Middle East. A lot going on there. Why don't we just jump right? Welcome back, anyway, Jim and Joanne. You didn't go anywhere, but welcome back. Thank you for staying with us. Let's go to Libya. Okay. Gosh, this is crazy. You guys are fantastic for sticking. I hate to do that to you. You're fantastic. Why don't you just real quickly, in 30 seconds, Joanne, a minute, just sum up Libya. What do we need to know for the next time you come on?
Okay. There was a Berlin conference supposedly to help Libya get through its problems. Libya really doesn't have any problems. They have a Muslim Brotherhood illegal regime in Tripoli that controls less than 5% or 0.05% of the country. Would have fallen a long time ago, except Turkey is supporting it and sending in terrorists and began to send in terrorists again last week. Huge amount have come in. The UN is against it. Everybody's against it, but nobody stops Turkey. They continue. So the tribes have cut off. The army is fighting these. The Libyan National Army is fighting for the Libyan people. They are fighting these Muslim Brotherhood terrorists that are in there. In the meantime, the eastern tribes went in and shut off all the oil production. They not only shut off one, they shut off about five fields and they blocked the roads and they said, this is the Libyan people and the tribes speaking. We do not want Turkey in our country. We want Turkey to stop invading our country. This is not the army. This is the Libyan tribes shutting off the oil.
Now, this seems like a really good sign, this seven countries in 5-year plan. If Libya can actually then reverse things and take it back to the people, this is a real kick in the, you know what, to the New World Order here, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And it's like Gaddafi said, the world doesn't understand Libya. They don't understand the people control Libya. That's what happens here.
Well, interesting. Thank you so much. Libyan War of the Truth. Please get their DVDs. Their story's fantastic, ladies and gentlemen. Libyan War of the Truth. Check them out. Support them. They need your support. They deserve your support. God bless you, too. Jim and Joanne, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks, Daniel. God bless you.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. Bye-bye. We'll talk to you soon. Our next guest, we're so happy to have them. I've been waiting with bated breath for quite a while. Brian Burroughs and Polly Tommy, they are the producers of course, you know, Vaxxed, Vax 1. This is Vax 2, The People's Truth. I love the name of it, The People's Truth. It's fantastic to have them on. Brian and Polly, welcome to the Power Hour.
Hi, Daniel. It's actually just Brian.
Oh, hi. Well, we'll take anything we can get. We're happy to have you, Brian. Welcome, Brian, to the Power Hour.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having us. And thank you for the support that you guys have given us throughout the making of this film. And now that we've launched, thank you again for having us on.
Let me start kind of a little side note. I mean, it's obviously related, but a little side question. How giddy are you about what just happened in New Jersey within the last week?
It's unbelievable. It's the power of the people. You know, we've always said that this thing's going to change because of the people, because people are fed up, because people are saying no more. You know, this group of people that we featured in this film, parents of children that have been injured by vaccines, they've always been pushed off to the side, always been marginalized and always been, you know, really silenced. And, you know, after the first film, that movement started growing and people started not being afraid to speak their truths. A lot of people were told by their doctors, by people on television, even family members, that what happened to their children wasn't true. That didn't happen. It's been proven over and over again that there's vaccines are perfectly safe. Well, you saw in New Jersey last week that people are fed up, and you know, for them to be able to make that change was just amazing to watch. Amazing.
I see this issue, vaccines, one way or another. I see this as the most important medical issue in America right now, probably most of the world. I mean, I don't want to overstep, but it's certainly in America because it's not just about medical. We're seeing forced vaccinations. We're seeing things where religious liberties are turned in favor of basically big pharma agenda. This is the battleground of medical liberty right now. I am so encouraged that it seems like we're about to reach a tipping point where they just can't, I don't care how much advertising or whatever big pharma does, they don't, there's not enough money in the world to overcome all these parents of children who have been hurt and damaged and who are convicted. Conviction literally is winning right here. Would you agree with that assessment?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we have reached a tipping point, and it seemed like it was an uphill battle for a while. And people have now, it's the power of the people. That's why this film's called The People's Truth, because, these people, once they got a voice, they convinced other people. They said, you know, I'm going to speak about this because I'm not going to be silent anymore. And I think we're seeing now that they're terrified. The other side is absolutely terrified because this is changing. The conversation's changing. And whereas before it was extremely one-sided, people aren't buying it right now. If you saw what happened on Highwire last week, where we had video of these people at the World Health Organization summit basically saying that we don't know what's going on, it is all changing. I think the facade's crumbling, and the people are winning this battle right now.
Polly's not going to, she's not going to join us today, I imagine. Is that what's going on?
So Polly and I both thought that this was at a different time. So I can try and get Polly during a break on the phone. And
yes, that'd be great.
And yes, because Polly is really the person on the front lines right now. Polly is, I don't know if you know, but some of your audience may know, she's traveling around on the back bus again, and she's interviewing parents all over again. And there's more and more and more. I mean, we have 9,000 names on that bus. And what she started doing after the first film was to drive around the country promoting the film, and parents would come to her and tell their stories of what happened to their children. And so they started signing the names of their children on the bus. The fact that we have 9,000 names, over 9,000 names now signed on that bus, is a real testament to you know, people speaking out. But the fact that we've only just scratched the surface. Vaccine injury is all over the place. It's all over the place, and it's rampant. And, those stories are starting to make their way into regular people's lives. People are hearing about this. And so Polly is really at the front lines of this right now. What she's seeing out there is horrible. It's really horrible.
I had my uncle and I went to the park. I don't know how long it's been. It's before the weather started to turn. I told the story previously, but I think it is really pertinent here. There was a lady, her son was going around, you know, kind of acting a little crazy, but you know, little boys act crazy at the park, right? I mean, what else do they do? I didn't think too much of it, but he was acting a little odd maybe, but I didn't really think much. And so you know what I mean? We got to talking to his mother. He was there. His father was a little way off playing with another one of the children. And she said, he came up to me and started asking questions or started saying things. He could speak a little bit or, you know, communicate. And she apologized. Said, well, I'm sorry. He's autistic and, you know, he's a little autistic, but he could say some words. But she said, I'm sorry. He's autistic and stuff. So I could tell something was going on. And then I got to talking to her and you know, you don't have to apologize, ma'am. I mean, it's fine. My children are fine. It's no big deal. Don't even worry about it. And so she said that I started asking her about vaccines. Were vaccines involved? Then she said, oh yeah, I did have a vaccine. Yeah. And now that we talk about, yeah, right after the vaccine is when she started having problems. I said, well, didn't your doctor, what'd your doctor? She said, she looked at me and she had this look on her face. It just broke my heart. And she said, my doctor told me that that couldn't happen. And then right then her husband was there kind of listening. He said, come on, let's go. Let's get out of here. You know, you could tell the pain on their face on all this. You know, once you, how,
What am I trying to say, Brian? I'm getting emotional as I'm talking about this.
We're seeing this all the time. All of these people that have sat down to interview on the bus, what they have always said is their doctors told them that everything's okay. Doctors have said that it was perfectly fine. I do this to my own children, so your kid's going to be fine. So you're with the doctor. The doctor gives your child this medical intervention, doesn't tell you about any of the negative things that can happen, which are listed right there in the vaccine insert, and then something happens to your child. You bring the child back to the doctor, and the doctor say, listen, it wasn't the vaccine. Once your child is injured, you're on your own. These parents are on their own. And what we have seen in what Vax2 illustrates is that these doctors aren't actually taught about vaccines in school. We had so many doctors that sit down, and there's a segment in the film where one after another, Polly asks them, so how much training did you get on vaccines in medical school? One of the doctors laughs. All of them say the same thing. We're just told this is the schedule. Vaccines have saved millions and millions of lives, and this is what you have to do. Nothing about the ingredients, nothing about the side effects. So these doctors are sent out into the world, and then they are dictated how they practice by organizations like the American Medical Association and the CDC, who they assume are doing all of these studies, these safety studies, and there are none. So doctors then are telling their patients, because they're backed up by the people telling them how to practice, that what they're doing is safe. So we're finding out more and more that these doctors really have no idea. Some people feel that it's the fault of the doctors. Doctors really don't have time. My personal opinion is doctors don't have the time to look into this. There should be something in place where doctors can be assured that what they're telling their patients is true, and that just isn't really the case.
I am shocked, really. The first movie, Vaxxed, was fantastic. It's so moving. There was one point where I just couldn't stand myself. I just got so emotional about it. It convicted me. It helped convict me. I thought mm-hmm. it was the most powerful movie. I've seen lots of other movies, whatever, or documentaries about vaccines talking about facts or this or that. There is nothing to me as moving as hearing a mother tell the stories that were told in this. So you're saying this movie, how is it different? Is this more of that, expanding on this? What are people going to get from this Vax2?
Well, so 90% information in the first film, and then we had, the first film was about the fraud of the CDC, government scientists that
covered up information. That, yes.
Right. But what we wanted to show was the real world effects of that. So we had a couple of parents in the movie talking about their children and what happened to them. And those are the parts in the movie, I think, that you're referring to. Because once we started promoting Vaxxed, all we heard from people about the film and what moved them was these parents' stories. And so while we traveled around the country, and parents would come up to Polly because her son's stories in the film, Polly Tommy, and her son was injured by the MMR at 18 months of age. And so people related to her. She was on there talking about the story, and then here's the mother who you just saw in the film. So parents would come up to her, and they wanted to tell her what happened to them. So we realized very quickly that we have to film all of these stories. So we filmed thousands of stories. So the Vax bus was on tour for 18 months, traveling around not just the U.S., but the team also went to Australia, New Zealand, England, Scotland, Ireland. And the stories were the same everywhere. So we recorded all of these stories. So the goal was to flip that 90% information, 10% feelings on this film. So it's flipped on its head. We have 90% parents telling their stories. And it's really powerful when you get a lot of people saying the exact same thing. All we've ever heard is that this is all anecdotal. These stories of injury are all anecdotal. At some point, the sheer numbers make it not anecdotal. That's data. That's this is something that's happening. If all of these people had the exact same experience, that then this is actually happening. So the new film is, you know, we released on November 6th and we did a theatrical run. And the reason we did that was because we felt that people could bring their doctors. We felt people could bring family members who really weren't on board. And what's happened is exactly that. And we've had doctors and other medical professionals, pediatricians, nurses, reach out to us and tell us that because of these parents' stories, they're having a really difficult time figuring out how they're going to practice the same way. So it's an extremely powerful film. And, you know, once these people's stories get out there, there's no denying it. If you go and watch this film, there's absolutely no denying, A, that vaccine injury is real, and that, B, these doctors really don't know what they're doing when they tell people that they're perfectly safe and effective.
Let me give you a few rebuttals or responses. And I know mm-hmm. I get them because my in-laws are very medical. My wife sure. goes back and forth. She's almost disowned some of her family, but that's another story. You know, she's talking about these things. But, okay, here's some of the things that I've heard or she's told me. They'll say, well, autism has always been, it's not a new thing, and they were just misdiagnosed in the past. What would you say to that?
I would say, where are the 50-year-olds banging their heads against the wall in diapers, nonverbal? You don't really see them. I don't remember. I'm 50 years old right now, and I don't remember kids in school doing that.
Okay. Good point. Good point.
Yeah.
You're just making it up. It's all in your head. I mean, literally, this is where the discussion goes, but let's go by this one at a time.
Okay. Sure.
Okay. So I'm the same way. I don't know how old you are, but I'm close to 50. I never, now I remember, mongoloid children and, a couple people, children like that that they had, and there really wasn't a lot. I never remember an autistic child all growing up in school. Never, not one. My mother-in-law, who does not necessarily agree with her family on this, she was a school teacher for a lot of years, even longer than I was in school or before. She said, there was never any autistic kids in school. Right. What are you talking about? You know, she sees that. They didn't exist. Okay. So that's the first thing. People can do with it what they want. The second thing is, parents are exaggerating this and they're just making this up.
I don't know how you can exaggerate a child that was perfectly healthy, that was developing normally, that had language. And then
Brian, they just didn't know what they were doing. They don't know their child. They don't know their child. What are you talking about, Brian? The doctor knows better, who sees them once every 2 years. The doctor knows better than their mother what's going on with them. How dare the mother have an opinion about their child?
I have one child, and it took 3 years for us to get pregnant. And so I maybe it's just me, but I was hyper vigilant when that child when he was first born. If he had a cough, I knew about it. If he looked like he just wasn't feeling the same, I knew about it. You study these kids. You're watching them constantly. So for a child to be perfectly normal and developing and walking and starting to talk and really interacting like they do around, you know, 8 to 12 months, and then for all of that to go away suddenly.
I'm glad that you're laughing a little bit about this, because it really, I mean, if you're able to separate yourself and kind of laugh a little bit, it kind of helps, because it's really the pressing, heavy, heavy, heavy subject. These are people's lives, but it's, if you just backed away from it and you looked at what they're saying, it's almost comical. It's ridiculous what they're saying. I used to go on YouTube, and this was, you know, YouTube, their search engines really changed. Google also. I used to go on YouTube. I don't even remember how many years ago this was, probably 5 or 10 years. And I would search about parent stories about vaccine damage, or parent stories about child, you know, autistic after vaccines. And I would literally have video after video after I could have went all day, every day, every hour, probably the rest of the year watching these videos of parents basically telling the same story that you're telling, mm-hmm. that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Now, when you search that, I mean, it's like finding a needle in a haystack. It's like they don't exist. Do you see, I mean, you're in this a lot more than I am. Do you see big corporations basically siding with Big Pharma and censoring all this type of information?
Absolutely. And it starts with the media. The media, the fact that reporters aren't reporting on this story is unreal. It's unbelievable. I had a guy from one of these big online magazines, huge one, contacted us because Indiegogo had said they'd made a statement after we originally crowdsourced part of the money to make this film through Indiegogo. And Indiegogo, very shortly after, because of pressure put on by Adam Schiff, had come out and said that they were never gonna do the same thing for any other anti-vaccine medical misinformation groups. And so this guy, this reporter, asked me about that. He said, I'm doing a story on this. And I said, that's the story you're looking at? I said, you just said to me you're a reporter. And he said, yeah. And I said to him, I was like, okay, what if one person tells you that something happened? As a reporter, do you look into it? And he goes, yeah, maybe. I said, what if five people? He said, yeah, then of course I would. I said, what if 100 people told you that something awful happened to them? You would absolutely look into it. He said, of course. I said, what if thousands and thousands and thousands of people told you that something horrible happened to them? Dead silence on the other end of the phone. And then they didn't use my quote in the story. So there you go.
There's the music. That was stunning, that story you just told. What you just told was stunning. Just the logic in that. Wow, we're talking to Brian Burroughs, director of the new movie Vax 2, The People's Truth. I love that, The People's Truth. Stay tuned, everybody, more. Maybe we'll get Polly in, maybe not, I don't know, but definitely more with Brian.
We're not very superstitious here at the Power Hour, but your lucky number this week is 17. Why? Because we have 17 products from the North American Urban Spice at a discounted rate of 10%. 10% off all North American Urban Spice products today all the way through this Sunday. Check out the full line of North American Urban Spice products at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys. Buy from thepowermall.com. Hurry, sale ends this Sunday.
I've been taking the curcumin for so many years. I'm up there in age and I don't have any aches or pain. I haven't taken aspirin or anything of that nature for so many years. If I get a little nagging and I feel maybe a headache's coming on, I'll take about 5 or 6 curcumin and it's gone. Pain is inflammation. I have always found that if I just take 5 or 6 curcumin, it'll blow it away within 15 minutes.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Now more than ever, we need your support. Jay's standing by to take your call. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
I don't don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
If you eat your man of food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high-quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
We know you like savings, and we know you like Strauss. Strauss Natural Products, 10% off this entire week. From now through this Sunday, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 and get a 10% discount on all our Strauss products. Right now through the end of the week or online at thepowermall.com. Buy from the good guys. Buy from thepowermall.com. Hurry. Sale ends this Sunday.
A little bit of a chaotic day back and forth with all these guests and what have you. We're so happy to have Brian on the line from Vax 2, producer of Vax 2. The Power Mall, REM Sleep. REM Sleep is 20% off over at thepowermall.com. Also, Strauss Heart Drops on sale. We have the Cinnamon now. Check that out. The North American Urban Spice, Cass Ingram. We'll definitely get them this week. We got some confusion last week. And the Willard Water. We do have a little bit of the Willard Water. You guys have requested that. And Topperson also back in stock, as you have requested. That and so much more at the Power Mall. 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. This is how we're funded. And welcome, everybody, all new listeners. It's so good to be with you. This is the Power Hour. Thank you for spending time with us. Brian Burroughs is the producer of Vaxxed 2. He was involved with Vax 1, also now Vax 2. That is the website, Vax2.com and Vaxxed.com. are the two websites, and we're kind of discussing the attitude. And I relate vaccines to cigarettes. To me, you know, in the we know now, looking back, that the tobacco company scientists were saying in the 20s that hey, these may not be good for you, and it took from the 1920s till 1968, I think, they put a warning label on the, this is about 40 or so, 40 plus years before they even put a warning label on the package. And now it's common knowledge, whether some people still get them, still don't get them, but now it's common knowledge. Cigarettes are really bad for you, not a good health decision. And, they're really, you know, you gotta be a certain age to even buy them, what have you, what have you. Okay. I think similar thing is going on with the vaccines here. And you have this billion-dollar corporation, similar to tobacco, that has a financial vested interest that you keep getting your vaccines. In fact, we're going to get more vaccines, more vaccines. I don't want to get into the minutia of the good, bad, and different, but that tide is turning into this New Jersey victory. It's happening really quick. And as a result, you're seeing censorship. You're seeing a movie like this. I said it. Vaxxed was the best movie on vaccines I've ever seen. It's the most moving and compelling. This movie, I have not seen your movie yet, Brian. You did not send me a copy. I really want a copy of this movie.
I will send it to you as soon as we get off.
Please, please do. My children have never seen a vaccine. They know if anybody ever tried to give them any shot, I don't care if it was a vitamin C shot, they would have a heart attack because I programmed them in their head. I mean, they just know this. But to even imagine...
My son is the same way. The same way, yeah.
to even have a child, I get so upset. I don't like people getting victimized. I don't like people getting conned. And that's part of what we do here in the show. And this is the biggest damage and the biggest con right there. Your children, I'm just so upset by it and so moved by it. I can't even talk straight to you, Brian. That's how emotional I'm getting in this. These questions are all over the place. I apologize.
Not at all. This is such a maddening thing to think about, that children are being harmed for profit. So no, I get it.
Harmed for profit. Okay. Let me ask it this way. How in the world, if this is true, if vaccines are so bad for you, then why does everybody tell me that they're good for you? Why does everybody in a white coat and a stethoscope tell me it's good? And they've all done the research. They all tell me it's fine. Why in the world should I listen to you as opposed to this whole system? How in the world have they let that dynamic exist all this time?
They've done it through fear. There's a campaign of fear about these diseases. All I heard when I was getting to adulthood was that vaccines had saved millions and millions of lives. And then I saw this chart one day, this chart about the diseases and what happened to the diseases and how the death rate and the incidence rates of these diseases started, it looked like in the 20s and 30s, started just dropping off the table. And there was this downward trajectory from being really dangerous at the turn of the century to when you reach 1950, 1960, the death rate and the incidence rates for these different diseases was almost at zero. And then you started getting diseases, you started getting vaccines introduced to the public thereafter. So when I saw this, that chart, I was like, wait a second, surely that has to be wrong. I mean, these vaccines are what got rid of these diseases. But then, you know, you do a little bit more digging and you realize that all of these vaccines that were introduced afterwards, they actually, a lot of them started a little bit more of an uptick in the incidence rates. So these vaccines that we've been taught as a society that saved millions and millions of lives, that's not the truth. So we looked into why this was. Why did these diseases start going away? Well, we started getting clean drinking water. We started getting the sewage, our human sewage, out of the streets in these big urban areas. And, of course, these diseases started going away. As we got cleaner, these diseases started going away because a lot of these diseases still exist in countries where we don't have clean drinking water and there's sewage all over the place. So, you know, they've really taken these diseases and used them as fear. I mean, when people find out that two people in the last 15 years in a country of 330 million have died from the measles, they're shocked because you listen to the news and all you hear is, oh my gosh, measles is coming back. People are going to die.
Yeah, it's like this dangerous. It's like cancer or something. It's like it kills more people than cancer, you'd think, by the way they promote it.
Right. And it's just simply not the truth. So that's how they've gotten. And, you know, they spend so much money pushing this fear that you have people online that think the same thing. The whole fact that your children, your perfectly healthy children that you've raised without vaccines, that are seen as a threat to society is laughable, but they've done it through this marketing of fear.
Let me ask you.
So that's
again,
why
we're gonna
this
go...
film is important, because this film debunks
all right.
that.
Let me. There's only two arguments that have any kind of compelling movement to me on the vaccine community that have any that make sense that I can even seem valid to me. There's only two. One, people will say that, well, if vaccines cause autism, then why are there people, kids with autism, that have not been vaccinated?
Because
there is a small percentage.
Sure, sure. Well, the rates of autism before this major uptick in the 80s of vaccines, I think there was seven doses on the schedule in the mid 80s, and then in 1989 we went from 7 to 36 overnight. And at that point in the 70s and in the early 80s, I believe it was 1 in 10,000 kids were diagnosed as autistic. So there are things that happen. What we've seen is, with the autism that we've seen and these parents that have come out and talked to us, is perfectly normal kids up to a certain point. Then they become autistic. And I think that 1 in 10,000, that was probably kids that had issues in utero or children that were born with some sort of an affliction. But the what you see now, this 1 in 36, this is after the fact. These are perfectly healthy kids that then have an issue after a certain intervention. And, you know, I'm not here saying that this is just vaccines, but it just seems odd to me that tons and tons of people say the same thing. Their kid was fine until after a shot.
Well, you can convince me with the chemicals, with the glyphosate, with the Monsanto, with the just, we're flooded with chemicals, that there's some kind of disconnect, especially small children. That's never been in the history of this world, the history of this planet that we know of, the amount of chemicals that we're exposed to. Okay, maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe the combination of all of them. Maybe vaccine is thus the biggest factor. It doesn't have to, you don't have to convince me. Okay, I think what you said was an interesting point. You know, there were 1 in 10,000, 1 in 20,000 were getting autism before the vaccine schedule pumped up. So how are they getting it? Were they getting it vaccines? Or is it just naturally, not naturally occurring, but, you know, kind of almost a freak thing? So that same incident would be occurring again, or maybe just a little higher because the chemicals are more. I don't think that's their biggest argument about vaccines, or that vaccines don't cause autism. And of course the safety studies. I don't even like to get into the safety studies because they're so ridiculous. It's so asinine what they say.
They're,
I don't even like to go there. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's asinine. It's beyond asinine. I won't be able to ask you a question again because I'm going to get so emotional, so stupid.
Yeah.
One of the other things they say, that's a compelling argument. I'm not saying it's compelling, but it's at least it's logical. At least there's some logic to it. Hey, some kids don't get autism and don't get vaccinated. Okay. All right. We can talk about that. The other thing they say is, well, there are risks, but for the greater good, you don't want your children dying of whooping cough, do you? So this is better that they're vaccinated. That's the other argument I hear that at least makes you think.
Yeah, I know a lot of the people that we had interviewed on the bus. And again, I'm not a scientist. What I'm is a filmmaker, and so I'm looking at what we've been told. This film is strictly about what we've been told. We're just reporting. We're doing the reporting that the actual reporter should be doing. What we heard a lot was that these kids did get whooping cough. You know, there were some kids that did get whooping cough, and you know what? They're fine. So the whooping cough is also kind of like the measles been made the boogeyman. I mean, the measles is the modern day boogeyman. I mean, that's what we're afraid of. I'm starting to hear chickenpox being the boogeyman now. They're starting to go after chickenpox. So whooping cough is apparently it's awful. I've never had it. My child's never had it. But, you know, all these parents say the same thing. Yeah, the kid had an awful cough for a week or so, and then it went away. So I'm not sure what the rates of the death rates for pertussis is. I don't know what those are. But from what I've seen, healthy kids are healthy kids, and if your immune system is able to naturally develop and you feed your kid well and don't give them 20-ounce Cokes every day and have them eat a McDonald's every single day, then, you know, chances are your kid's going to be able to handle anything that it comes in contact with. And that's what we've seen over and over and over again.
What I like about what you do, and kind of even asking these questions and these kind of open-ended scientific questions, you're like, I'm not a scientist, Daniel. Quit asking me about scientific questions. I'm not a scientist. I'm reporting.
I'm telling you what we see.
I'm telling you what we see, right? Which is really the power of all the smoking gun, the kryptonite to the marketing to these billion-dollar corporations, the kryptonite, unfortunately, it's these hurt little precious children. It's the, how do you you cannot overcome this. And I just see this building and building and building, and parents are getting more and more, they feel supported. They feel, well, maybe my doctor is not telling me the truth. Maybe he's wrong. And before they never would have thought that at all. I just think it's building. Where do you see this going? Because you've been right in the middle of this for quite a while.
Like you said before, I think we're at a point where this is all getting ready to crumble. And, you know, with the cigarette argument, I think we're going to see the same thing in 10 years where people say, I can't believe people used to actually think that vaccines were good for you. I think as a society, we're going to get there. We're getting there quickly, and we're getting there because people are speaking out and warning others. All these parents, they have no financial gain. They have nothing but.
In fact, they're sacrificing. They're financially sacrificing. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, they're them being loud about it. This gets them kicked out of, you know, mommy groups. This gets them ostracized by members of their own family. This gets them, you know, this gets them in fights with friends and neighbors. So they have no skin in the game other than warning people that what happened to them could possibly happen to them as well, and their neighbors and their loved ones. So I give these people lots and lots of credit, and I think it's amazing that they've all kind of at once stood up and said, we're not going to be silenced anymore. And I think that's what's going to change this entire thing, and I think that's what is changing this whole issue. You know, New Jersey is just the first. I think we're going to start seeing that a lot more.
What does it say? You know, you just what you just said, the stories that people are telling you, that their families are ostracizing them, gets them kicked out of mommy groups. What does it say about our society that these poor parents would be treated that way? I mean, what's going on in our society that is how they're treated?
Unbelievable pharma marketing and using the media to just scare the hell out of people. I think when people are scared that something bad could happen to their kids because there's this group of people that are deciding not to step in line, that they've done a really, really good job in kind of whipping up this group of people. But I think that's changing as well. I think you're going to see less and less and less of it. And I think the other side realized that they need another tactic because it's not working. We're not being kept silent. So what they've gone to now is to just start censoring us. I mean, we have all of the stories that we did in the Vax Bus, we used to put up on our Facebook page, We Are Vaxxed, and it's really difficult. If you go on Facebook and you try to find We Are Vaxxed, you get the World Health Organization, you get the Gates Foundation, you get the CDC, you get all of these different medical groups and Facebook organizations that are pro-vaccine, and you have to search and search and search until you find us. So what they're doing now is they're just trying to stop us communicating with each other.
California, let's talk about California, because that's probably at least the most well-known. There's other states doing it, but California is probably the most well-known draconian kind of type of measures. We've seen a lot of parents who say, well, okay, you're going to force me to get vaccinated. Fine. My kids won't go to school anymore. And now we're seeing the talk of, well, now we need to monitor homeschool. And now then we see parents, okay, you're going to be that. Fine. I'll just move out of the state. I'll go somewhere else. What do you know? You're involved with these parents and talk to them. People from California. What is their sentiment? What is on their mind in California?
They're devastated. Think about having to choose between your children's health and living the lifestyle that you've always lived.
I would go out of my mind, Brian. Brian, right. I would go out of my mind. If I had one child, especially if I had one child sitting here that's eight, that's 12 years old, that's banging his head against the wall and is suffering with this, and our family is now having to totally deal with this and all that. And then they wanted to tell me, force me that my now 6 year old's now going to get, I would go out of my mind. There's no way. Yeah. As long as there's a breath in my body, there is no way my child would ever get a vaccine. There is nothing they could do or convince me. That would be me.
Yeah. And I think a lot of these people feel the same way. I was just, we just did a screening of Vax2 in Modesto, California, just outside of San Francisco. And we were in a big state theater, one of these old, amazing 1930s theaters, beautiful theater. And all of these parents came up to us afterwards and were talking to us and thanking us for making this film. And so many people told me, they're like, you guys are in Austin, Texas, right? Yeah. We're thinking of moving there. And so in these conversations with these parents, I was like, are you homeschooling? Yeah, but they're going to start coming after the homeschoolers next. So these people literally are having to leave their families and, you know, generations of family and friends and being in the same place. Del Bigtree talks about being a refugee. He's a refugee from his home state.
Wow.
And that's strong language, but think about that. I mean, he has two healthy, unvaccinated kids, and he's now had to move to Austin, Texas, where I live, because we have an amazing group here. We have an amazing set of politicians that are trying to make sure that that never happens, where forced mandates never happen in the state of Texas. So people are having to pick up. But I would hate to have to leave where I live and where I've grown up, because some politicians have been bought and paid for and are using something as flimsy as an outbreak of, I don't know, what, 62 people at Disneyland as the impetus to pass the most draconian laws we've ever seen. It's absolute lunacy. It's absolute lunacy, but this is what we're fighting against. But I also think that this is the last gasp effort. It seems so desperate, and I think they are losing, and they realize that they're losing control of this. So the last thing that they are doing, this seems to be one of the last bullets that they have. But this is
the last bullets, meaning the censor? You meaning the censorship or the force? Well, or what do you mean? Or both?
The censorship and look. How they can pass these laws is by stopping people from talking to each other and organizing and getting together, and that's failed. That's failed. So these laws now, like we saw in New Jersey, they're going to have a really difficult time passing laws like this. And I hope that at some point in California, the people who are in charge and who have passed these laws end up getting voted out of office, and some sort of sanity comes back to this conversation, because these people shouldn't have to leave their state.
Let me ask you about one of the things that bothers me about the pro medical choice side. I don't even want to say anti-vaxxy. They control that. They try to control that, put that stigma. It's like anti-abortion, anti-vaxxers. I don't like that. Pro medical choice, pro, you know, whatever, something pro. One of the things that bothers me about our position, because I'm in that group, I'm so with you, is they say, well, we're fighting for medical exemptions. You're presupposing that the state has the right to give you a vaccine, but they offer exemptions, that the decision is theirs, and by their grace, they're now giving you an exemption. And that we put ourselves in that position that we're begging and fighting for exemptions. To me, the more important argument, the more important position is, no, I'm sovereign. I have control over my body. The Bill of Rights I have First Amendment protections. I have Fourth Amendment protections. I'll get them if I choose to. This is unlawful. So to say that these are vaccine laws, these are not vaccine laws. It's against the Bill of Rights. And anything against the Bill of Rights is not law. And so as we go forward, I have a feeling that this won't be the only Rubicon that a big pharma or big government wants to cross. The argument to defend is not to argue on their on their ground. We're arguing on their ground. We need to take this to a higher level. No, the Bill of Rights is there. No, the Declaration of Independence is there. We're endowed by our Creator. We have unalienable rights. You are violating them. Stop now. This is not a law. I don't care how many of you get in a room. I don't care if the whole Congress gets in a room and says, we're going to force you to get vaccines. That's not a law. That doesn't make it a law. Because it's against the Bill of Rights and against our natural rights. To me, that's a more important and bigger argument. I don't know. That was kind of a protracted, but any thought on that?
I love it. I love it. I've never really thought about it that way. But you're right. Yeah, the right is with us. We're not asking anybody for permission to not have our kids.
But that's what we're doing. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
That's the fight we're fighting.
I've never really thought about it that way. I'll tell you what, we're going to be in Canada. We're going to be up in Toronto. I'm originally from Toronto, Canada. And I've been in the U.S. now for 20 years in July.
I was going to ask you that. I could hear a little accent. But anyway, go on.
Yeah. Particularly when I have a couple of beers, then you'll really hear it. but we're going to be in Toronto later on this week. And we're Vaxxed is screening in Toronto. And one of the things that they're, in communication with us about is that, under the Charter of Rights, which is the same as the Bill of Rights here in the U.S.
Turn that down, please, Tom.
Canadians are, we have these inalienable rights that no one can force any sort of medical intervention on us. They're actually talking right now about changing the Charter of Rights and taking that out of the Charter of Rights.
Wow.
So this is the length that they're going to. So this is a 200-year-old document that they are going to completely bypass in order to force vaccines.
Well, that's
Canadian
the stand.
Public.
See, that's the stand in America. Do we believe in the Declaration of Independence or not? See, that's where we need to stand. It's a much more sure foundation. Anyway, I'm going to call you right after the show. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to call you right now. Give me 1 minute. Stay right there. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a great broadcast the rest of the week. We want you happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.